This interview is being conducted on February 12, 2010, with Mr. Sam Cangelosi at the Indian Prairie Library in Darien, Illinois. My name is Deb Barrett. Mr. Cangelosi was born on December 12, 1923, in Chicago, Illinois. He is a retired truck driver. Sam learned of the Veterans History Project through a neighbor, Diane Sims, who is also a volunteer on this project. Also with us today is Mr. Cangelosi's son, Tom. Sam has kindly consented to be interviewed for this project. Here is his story. Hey, Sam, where were you living just before you went into the service? What was your life like just before that?
Well, I just got out of high school at that time, and I had odd jobs, but jobs were very scarce at that time, worse than they are now. And I went to several schools to learn trades. So eventually I hoped to get into some trade after a while. And I never decided to go to college. I just didn't feel like I had the mindset for it. So I went to these trade schools, and in the meantime, the draft kind of exploded. They needed soldiers, and I was right in the middle of them. I was 19 and going on 20, and they needed help, so I was ready. I was really willing to go because I wanted something to really do in my life.
Were you drafted, or did you enlist?
I was drafted.
Okay.
And I went in about the month of January or February.
Of what year was it?
I think it was 43.
Okay. Were you living at home at the time?
I was.
With your family, your parents?
My parents and two other sisters.
Had anyone else in your family gone into the service?
No, I was the only one.
You were the only one?
Yes.
So what was your family's reaction when you got your draft notice?
Well, I was a mama's boy, and she was very depressed about it, but she got over it and said her prayers. Eventually, in January of 1943, we left for Great Lakes. I think it was Great Lakes Training Center to be indoctrinated. And from there, after 3 days of getting back, military information. They gave us uniforms immediately, and we were put on, third day after I was in Great Lakes, they put us on troop trains, and we left west for California. Everybody was California. We didn't know for sure.
Now, what can you remember from those 3 days? What was the first thing that happened? Did you get to the Great Lakes yourself?
Yeah.
You got there on your own?
They took us in buses.
Okay.
And the first thing they showed us how to do was make up our beds. And then...
What were your sleeping arrangements like there? I mean, your living arrangements. Was it a barracks type of arrangement?
Barrack types. Pavilions with double cots, one on top of the other, and we learned to put our sheets on. And
so you could bounce a quarter?
Yeah. And next thing you know, 3 days went by. After we got a few shots, I believe we had to take some shots, and we headed for California.
So You got to Great Lakes. You were picked up where to go to Great Lakes?
We were picked up right at the base at Great Lakes. They took us in buses to the train.
Okay.
And from the train was a say a 5-day trip. It was a slow trip.
So you were in uniform?
Yeah, we were in uniform.
And you had packs? What was in your packs?
Well, we didn't have packs yet. We had khakis, I think.
Okay.
Army khakis. And
what happened to all your personal clothes from before?
Well, I can't remember what happened. All I knew is I was a soldier. And I had to follow orders. Well, it took us about 5 days to get to California.
Uh-huh.
And everybody enjoyed it because the weather was much warmer.
What did you do for those 5 days on the train?
I was just thinking about what the future was going to hold and keeping our fingers crossed.
Yeah.
It all new to us.
How many guys were on the train? Do you know? Have any idea?
I'd say at least 2,000
wow.
troops were on that train. They were drafted pretty heavily then. And, we got to Camp Roberts, California, in San Luis Obispo was a campsite.
Okay.
And,
that was a big camp, wasn't it?
Pretty big camp. A lot of mountainous area.
Had you traveled before?
No.
So this was all pretty new to you.
Yes.
What did you think of the mountains?
I thought they were great. I really, really felt excited. You know, youngsters never traveled. Must have been exciting.
So the train pulled in, and where did you got on buses to get to the camp? Or?
I'm not sure if it was buses or troop equipment, like trucks.
Mm-hmm.
We went to Camp Roberts. It was in St. Louis Obispo, California.
Okay.
And immediately everybody had duties to do.
How did you find it? What happened when you got to the camp? You all got off the bus or the truck and
yeah, they all lined up and they separated us by alphabetical order, I think.
Okay.
And they assigned us to certain buildings. And we ate pretty healthy.
What was your typical meal there? Was
well, we had plenty of steak and eggs. They were trying to build us up, I think.
And it tasted pretty good?
Everything was good, yes. Everything was good. And we all immediately, in 3 months, we were all 10 pounds heavier. So basic training, well, they give you a lot of exercises to build you up.
So what was your typical day like?
I get up early, about 5 in the morning.
And how did you get up? How did they wake you up?
By a horn, I think. By a trumpet. And everybody had to get up, dress up fast, and run out as fast as they could to outside the buildings or your exercise room, and the exercises were hard. You know, everybody had to fall on their stomachs and fall on their backs and fall on your head. They want to make it tough. So I was starting to gain weight fast, you know, eating good and exercise. And before you know it, 3 months went by pretty fast.
So let's talk a little bit about the day, though. You said you got up about early in the morning.
Yeah, 5 in the morning.
You ran out and did your exercises.
Yeah. Then
about how long was exercise? Half an hour?
About a half hour.
And then you went to breakfast. Did you go as a unit?
I think we were split up in units.
Okay.
And I really forgot how they split us up.
Right.
But eventually, 3 months went by pretty fast. And next thing I know, we were on a field, a parade field, where we graduated.
Okay. So you had exercise to build you up.
Yeah.
You had classes in military history or using your weapons?
Weapons mostly.
Okay. What was
but
the weapon?
They tried to train as fast as they could.
Right.
Because they needed
soldiers.
Replacements. We were replacements.
Okay.
We weren't regular army. They call us replacements.
What weapons did they teach you how to use?
Well, mostly a rifle.
Okay. Do you remember what kind of rifle you had?
M1. They call it an M1
rifle. An M1 rifle, okay.
And
Did you learn other skills besides using weapons? Hand-to-hand?
Karate. Stuff like that. And jumping over walls. 6 foot walls.
Okay.
At that time it was easy for me, but
it's a little tougher now.
Yeah. And so we got hardened up pretty good. And then they had this big parade before you know it. 3 months went by fast. And we graduated. They gave us some kind of a diploma. And the colonel come over and made the speech that we did very good in training. But then in the middle of the speech, he started to cry. And,
the colonel started?
Yeah.
Okay.
He started to cry because he'd seen all these young faces, and he knew that a lot of them weren't coming back.
Okay.
And we got the idea right away.
You knew what was coming, yeah.
Yeah. So,
now, after, was any of your family able to come to see you graduate?
No, they weren't able to come.
Okay.
And,
so from the time you got to California to graduation, did you have any time where you were able to go home?
No.
Were you able to communicate with your family?
I had letters and possibly a phone call here and there.
Okay. Did you were able to receive anything from them? Packages or anything?
I received some packages, not many, but there's some goodies
that
Mom used to make for me. I liked it.
Because she wasn't sure you were eating enough, huh?
So
at graduation, were you able to go home before you went to your next assignment? Were you able to get any leave at all?
No, we just had one great going-away party.
Just on the base there.
Well, we went to the town and everybody could drink. First time we ever drank hard liquor. And but they made sure we got back safe. And it was all abandoned at that time. The towns were swollen and just a lot of liquor spots and restaurants. And then the next few days later, we were packed on a train. I forgot what equipment I had, but we had a duffel bag with our clothes on.
Okay.
I don't think we had any battle equipment, like rifles or anything, until we got to our regular barracks.
Now, how did you know where your next assignment was going to be? How did they tell you?
Most of it was we guessed, and then we were farther west on the train. Everybody just had the feeling that they were going to the west coast.
So when you got your orders, how did you receive them? Did someone come and tell you? Was it posted somewhere?
Yeah, some officer when we reached our destination, they told us what we were there for, basic training, and not to lead a clean of life as we could, because we had to stay in shape. And so we took this basic training, and before you know it, another 3 months went by, and we were on a troop ship.
Okay, so you had 3 months in San Luis Obispo, yeah, yeah. And then you had three more months?
No, then we had then we got on a troop on
okay.
Ships.
And where were you headed?
For New Caledonia.
Okay.
I found out later, but we headed for New Caledonia.
Okay. Did you know when you were getting on board the ship where you were headed?
I don't recall.
Were you able to tell your family that you were going or
no.
Where you were going?
No, we were not able, not to say much because everything was secret.
Right. So your family didn't even know you were
no.
Leaving the States?
No.
Okay.
So,
didn't Auntie Jo, she said that, like, when she would write you, she'd have, like, a code?
Oh, yeah, she had. My sister was pretty smart. She wanted to keep track of me.
Uh-huh.
So we had some kind of a code. We mentioned some sort of a name, and that was our destination, you know.
Okay.
And she knew where I was anyway.
So do you remember what New Caledonia was?
It was a French island.
No. Do you remember what name you had for?
Oh, no, I don't remember.
That was good.
No.
Uh-huh.
And... So,
do you remember the name of the ship you were on?
I think it was Oconto.
Oconto?
Yeah, like Oconto, Wisconsin.
Right. And how many men were on the ship? Do you have any idea?
Oh, I can give you a guess. I'd say about 2,000.
Okay. So, well, you said you hadn't traveled before, so going out in the ocean must have been a real experience.
It was pretty calm. The Pacific was calm all the way there, and we didn't have any stormy seas yet.
Yeah.
But I have witnessed quite a few stormy seas. The China Sea later on was the worst experience I ever had on water.
Wow. Okay. But when you took this trip now to New Caledonia, did you go straight to New Caledonia or did you stop somewhere?
I went right straight to California, Caledonia.
Okay. How long did the trip take?
It took 1 month.
A whole month without stopping.
Without stopping because we had to worry about torpedo boats
right.
Sinking our ship. So we had a zigzag.
Right.
It took longer.
So what did you do for a month on the ship? How did you pass time?
Well, we exercised a lot. They tried to keep us in shape.
Uh-huh.
We didn't eat too much because both of us were seasick.
What kind of food did you have while you were on the ship?
Well, just the basic necessities, you know, like probably had a steak once in a while, a lot of potatoes, I know we had a lot of potatoes, a lot of milk.
Uh-huh.
We all gained pretty good weight. We're ready for...
They kept you built up.
We're ready for the slaughter.
What did you do with when you weren't exercising or having your meals? I mean, did you... Were there card games going on?
Yeah.
Did you read? What did you do to pass your time?
I mostly talked. I mostly read about things. They had information on New Caledonia that we read about.
Okay.
It's a French island, and they weren't very friendly. I know that. And, I don't really recall how how long we stayed in New Caledonia. I know it was a sandy, windy, by the beach area where we were camped.
And were you camped in tents or?
In tents.
How many men in a tent?
Well, 2 men in a tent. We had a portable, small tent.
Uh-huh. And cots?
Yeah, not sit on the floor.
Just a sleeping bag?
A sleeping bag or a blanket.
Okay.
And it's starting to get uncomfortable, you know, not sleeping well, and it gave us a lot of shots for mosquitoes and malaria shots and tetanus shots. And, New Caledonia was just a vast open space, a lot of water around it, and not many people.
Uh-huh.
I remember we used to like to buy our own fresh eggs.
Okay.
And have the chef, cook them for us, share some with him and share some with us. We had fresh eggs.
So, and when you were on Caledonia, were you doing, did you have a regular military day with exercises and assignments?
Or
what was your day?
Well, we had each one of us were trained with certain equipment, like machine guns and anti-tank guns and rifle. And we had to clean them every day and tend to them.
What type of gun did you have? A rifle?
Well, I carried a pistol, 45 caliber pistol. I had an M1 rifle, and we were trained with an anti-tank gun.
Okay.
Small cannon that destroyed tanks.
So you knew at this point what your MOS was?
Yeah.
Your military operational specialty.
Yes.
What was yours?
Well, I was an anti-tank gunner.
Anti-tank gunner?
Yeah, we were trained mostly for that. And I only ran the one tank in the Philippine Islands. That's the only experience I had.
So you had all that training and one time to use it. Okay.
Well, see, our group was mostly, they call us mopping up the
cleanup mop up, right?
Yeah, the Marines were right through there.
Mm-hmm.
They were the big hachos. They went through and did a lot of killing, and then we came after them to get what was left over. To get prisoners and as I experienced, got to know what the Japanese soldiers were like.
Mm-hmm.
And they were well-trained soldiers. They knew their stuff. They used to be small people.
Right.
They used to hide in caves and they were out to get us like we were out to get them.
Yep. So you were in New Caledonia for how long?
Well, New Caledonia was there, I'd say about 2 weeks.
Okay.
And then we went to Solomon Islands.
Okay.
Where the 25th Division was already originated. They had a battle there previous to when we got there. They had a big battle with the Japanese. This is the 25th Division. I was a replacement, don't forget. I replaced somebody that died.
Right.
Or hurt, got hurt. And soon after, they needed a lot of replacements.
those guys that were there, they were, they came from Hawaii, right?
The original 25th Division were based in Hawaii.
Okay.
I don't know what they call it, over.
Oahu?
Oahu, yeah.
Okay.
And they thought they were going to have a good time in peacetime. Was a good time, but after that they had to pay the penalty.
Right.
And
So the Solomon Islands, you stayed with the same unit that you'd been with.
Yes, I was replacement. And,
okay.
And then when we went to the Solomon Islands, we had to join the regiment. I was a 35th Infantry.
Okay.
So I was a 25th Division.
Okay.
And, whatever replacement they needed, they sent so many of us. And it wasn't bad because already bad things were already over with. You know.
So you're saying the worst of it was over when you got there?
The worst is over. And, we were kind of cleaning up, you know.
Where were you when they gave you the burial detail? You said, like...
Yeah, well, see, I didn't know the original 25th Division soldiers that were killed.
Right.
Yeah. So that was one of our duties. I didn't know them, and it seemed like it was easier for...
For people who didn't know?
No one, kind of a bad experience because I never saw somebody hurt and disabled and dead people.
Was this on the Solomon Islands that you were doing this?
Yes,
What were these burials temporary until bodies could be returned?
Yes, they were.
Was there, what did they...
Your own soldiers would grab you when you fell down. And when they found out you were dead, they put you in a spot and they put some sort of a garb over you and cover you with dirt.
Okay.
To, like, get your body out of there. And so I didn't know anybody that was killed or hurt, and so I was one of a group that I volunteered.
Because emotionally it'd be easier for you to bury someone you did not know, right?
And they were pretty bad shape because they were there 3-4 days already.
Mm-hmm.
Under a small cover of ground.
So you had to find them and uncover them?
Yeah, we had
and then rebury them?
Yeah, they could wear a gas mask. We had to wear heavy gloves.
Right, because the bodies would start to decompose.
Right. And it was after I got used to it, I didn't know the people.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't too bad, but I really felt uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Because I kept thinking, you know, they had a mother like I had one. If the mother saw the condition they were in, it would be heartbreaking.
Right.
And they had their dog tags on,
mm-hmm.
so they could identify them.
Right.
And they had the original clothes on, their glasses, their hats around, and everything.
You just buried them with whatever they had on at the time.
So I got shovels from them, canvas bags, and labeled them,
mm-hmm.
and I put them on a truck, and they were buried in some cemetery. I didn't go where the cemetery was.
Oh, so your job was to unbury them and put them in these bags and get them on the trucks.
Truck.
Okay.
It was a detail. I had to do it. Somebody had to do it.
Right.
And I got over that. It was a pretty good experience for me to see all this.
Mm-hmm.
I really felt sorry for for these parents of the, these boys that were pretty well shot up.
Right.
I was just hoping that none of them would be like that.
Right. So how long were you on the Solomon Islands and how long in doing this?
Well, we, like I say, we were clean up.
Right.
We, everything that was left over, the guns that fell down, the soldiers that fell down, we had to gather everything up, and if there was any Japanese hiding yet, we had to go up and get, destroy them.
Did you come across any Japanese?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Did you have to engage them in?
Yeah, it was a lot of long distance firing, but we were firing at each other.
Right.
And I saw a lot of young men fall down. That was the end.
So did you have any hand-to-hand combat with any of these, or was it mostly long distance?
Mostly. Close, I was about 50 yards
okay.
away. And, well, we were there for New Caledonia till we got it cleaned up.
Right.
Put all the enemy gone, and we got the civilians stabled up where they could get back to
their life, right?
And after that, we had like a break because a lot of the soldiers kind of worn out with got malaria.
Right. Was this on New Caledonia or the Solomon Islands?
This is the Solomon Islands.
Okay.
That's where our division started fighting, that 25th Division.
Right.
Had the biggest battles there. Well, the island was cleaned up, and then about 6 months went by, and so the most of the soldiers were worn out, sick and tired at the time, and so they told us that we're going to get a vacation. We're going to go to New Zealand for
R&R.
R&L. So we were all overjoyed. I've heard of New Zealand, but I want to see it. And we got cleaned up pretty good. Anybody who was sick got well. And got on more troop ships.
Right.
And we headed for New Zealand.
How long of a vacation did you have on New Zealand?
Well, it was just the right time because of the seasonal summer is
right.
On Christmas. It was around Christmas time we got there. People were very courteous. They sympathized with us. They tried to help us. New Zealanders.
So this was your first Christmas away from home?
It was, yes.
Okay. How long had you been in the Army at this point?
Let's see, about a good 9 months.
Okay. So you celebrated Christmas away from home?
Yeah, we had 3 months leave in New Zealand.
3 months?
Yeah, we got to know a lot of people. They got to know us, and we drank their New Zealand beer, and they used to have a dark stout beer, they call it stout, and we hated the taste of it, but it was some...
But it was beer.
beer, and so we got used to that. We drank beer most of the time.
So what were your living arrangements in New Zealand? Where did you stay?
We had regular campsites.
Okay.
Tents and we were out in the mountains and the farmlands. and plenty of fresh food and milk. They wanted us to fan them.
Build you up again. So the you ate at the camp?
Yeah, we had the camp. We all were able to go on the furlough, maybe a week or so each. We get furloughed, we go, and we had our own money, and we paid our own way in the town. We
right.
Slept at the USO's, and so if there was a problem, you misbehaved, you paid for it later.
Yeah. How did they pay for? How did you pay for it later? What happened?
If you say you were at the USO and you fell down the stairs for drinking too much.
Yeah.
Well, for doing all that damage and making all the FBs get riled up, when he got back to camp, was KP for a week.
So, did you do KP?
Yeah. I had to get out of my system.
Yeah. So, what did you have to do on KP?
Well, KP is mostly, for me, was peeling potatoes.
So more potatoes than you ever wanted to see, right?
Yeah. And then we used to have to dig our trenches for trash. Big, they were big trenches, 8x8.
Mm-hmm.
And you had to dig and dig and dig. And that was your punishment.
Yeah. Okay. So did it work? Did it keep people from getting drunk?
Oh, yeah. Everybody behaved pretty well, but people were nice to us. And after 3 months, it was just like leaving heaven.
I bet. So it was 3 months of camp, but in a much nicer place.
Yeah.
And you got a week furlough while you were there.
Yeah.
To go into the town and relax and enjoy yourself a little.
Got to know people. They got us tickets for theater.
What sort of shows did you see while you were there?
Well, it's mostly stage theater. I can't recall now. Stage acts.
Okay.
And there were pretty good movies too.
Uh huh.
And mostly everybody liked the bars.
That was the most popular spot.
That was the popular. They used to have a dinner they called Steak and Eggs.
Mm-hmm.
That was famous there. And that's all we talked about, going for steak and eggs. We had for breakfast. So
you had your week furlough in this 3 months at New Zealand. What happened after that? Where did you go?
We had to go back to New Caledonia and take some more training.
What type of training?
Just to review all your basics, your weapons, and get back in shape, you know, because we all know we're gonna have some more action, you know.
Right.
So
how long were you when you went back to New Caledonia that time?
Well, let's see. We didn't go back to New Caledonia. Let's see. We might have went to New Caledonia to line up, have all our regiments ready, and they were ready to plan.
Okay.
The invasion of Japan.
Okay. So you went from New Zealand to New Caledonia,
yeah.
Or did you stop somewhere in between?
No, we went New Caledonia again.
Okay, and you said you got some more training. Do you remember what the training was for?
Well,
was it more physical training?
Well, they chose maps and
okay.
terrains. And not the language, it's hard to learn the Japanese language.
So this was the map of Japan
yeah.
and the terrain, so
were,
preparing
were,
for an invasion, right?
Well, that meant a lot more soldiers were going to be killed.
Right.
Because the Japanese weren't ready to give up yet.
Right.
And after we trained, we went back to Philippine Islands.
Okay, so how long were you on New Caledonia that time?
I'd say about 3 months.
Okay, 3 months, and then you went back. Then you went to the Philippines yeah. from there.
Went back to the Philippines, and there was cleanup. They call them cleanup areas. Yeah. There was more Japanese in certain areas.
Right.
And we clear them out. And then from there, we were going to go to Japan.
Okay.
But in the meantime, it was February, approximately a week ago today.
Uh-huh.
I think it was January, February.
I think it was February.
February
1944?
44.
Okay.
We were cleaning up the Japanese that were left on this island of Wingang Gulf, they call it.
Mm-hmm.
We were lined up for a big tank. And at that time, they trained me as a machine gunner.
Right.
And I want to say before that Japanese are well trained soldiers. They were
right.
pretty good. And a lot of them were trained so well, they ate very well. They had a certain mess kit, they call it, that they could cook their own meals, mostly rice and fish.
Mm-hmm.
And they used to have some sort of a heating method to heat that food.
Okay.
For all our food.
It was cold.
Cold in a can, so. And 6 weeks of that stuff, and you're down to nothing again.
Well, what kind of stuff was in your
meat and beans and
okay.
hash. And,
it's a lot of protein types
yeah.
of things, right.
And hardly any bread. And just ate what we got out of cans. And if we had to heat it up, we turned our helmets over, our steel helmets,
and
put our food in there and heat it in the helmet.
Use your helmet like a pot.
Yeah.
Okay.
And
was it any better warm?
Well, no.
Okay.
It didn't taste any better. We had a lot of water. We managed to get a lot of water. They had water packed in bags, canvas bags, and then we had a spigot on it.
Okay.
So we wouldn't get
dehydrated.
Contaminated water.
Right, right.
And then sometimes there used to be streams.
Mm-hmm.
We used to get in the stream, take our showers, our baths.
Right, that's how you cleaned yourselves.
Cleaned ourselves out there. And, let's see.
Didn't they run out of food sometimes?
Oh, yeah, we had. They melted Christmas candy. They melted it somehow. That was our meal one time. Christmas.
Because they ran out of food?
Yeah.
Wow.
And, what else was I gonna say?
So you had your food in the cans, that you could heat if you wanted to.
Right.
You had water, so that you get clean water.
Right.
You had you bathed in the streams.
Yes.
To get clean.
And then we had an appetite for fresh fish, so it was out as what do you call it? The fish that are colored.
Okay. Like tropical fish?
Tropical fish. That's,
okay.
That's what I meant to say. A lot of tropical fish, and they were edible.
So you caught your own fish?
So, yeah, some guys had their own methods. They got their hand grenades.
Right.
Threw in the water, and up come the fish. And a helmet came in handy, too.
Catching your dinner.
And we... You had fried fish, you always had fire. And that helped us quite a bit.
That helped with the food.
Oh, yeah. That filled us up a little bit.
So you each went out and did that if you wanted it, or did someone from the kitchen detail do this?
We followed the leaders. There were quite a few farm boys. They knew how to take care of themselves, they knew how to hunt fish, so we learned that way.
Okay.
We, once in a while, we get a strayed deer and butcher it.
Mm-hmm.
We all had deer meat. But,
This must have been a little different for a boy from Chicago.
Oh, yeah. Some good for me, because I was spoiled as youth. And anyway, a line, a barrier between the Japanese and us. And because we used to sleep and then be alert for enemy soldiers,
because
mm-hmm. they were still in the jungles.
Right.
And I was a partner in a machine gun.
You have one guy carry the machine gun.
One guy fired it, one guy carried it.
Okay.
And at night we stay at a perimeter.
Right.
And we lined up our guns, and got a blanket and covered ourselves and take turns sleeping.
Okay.
So, this with the machine gunner, you need somebody to load the machine gun,
mm-hmm.
one guy to fire it. And I didn't know this. He was an elderly man. He was my partner.
How old was elderly?
I'd say he was about in his middle 40s.
Okay.
We were all 20.
Right. He was an old man.
Yeah. And he was a minister.
Okay.
And he was my partner on the machine gun. We all had our duties, and so I told that evening, I told him one of us has to fire the gun, one of us has to load it. I says, what would you like to do? You know, he says, I'll load it. He says, I'll load it. You can fire it. And he says, I'll be on the right side. Well, it was just a lucky guess for me to, lucky happened anyway that he chose that side of the gun and I chose the other side because they dropped the mortar shell on us.
Okay.
It was about 4 o'clock in the morning.
Uh-huh.
And that shrapnel spread all over And fortunately, somehow, he got all of it, except one piece got me in the arm.
He got all the shrapnel except one piece?
And we ended up in the hospital tent. The medics got us. I was next to him, and I saw him cut off his arms.
So he lost both arms?
Lost both arms.
Wow.
And fortunately, I didn't even know I was hurt. I was so slight, but there was enough to get me out of the service because the shrapnel went in my arm and severed a nerve.
Okay.
And I forget the name of the nerve. And the doctor told me I was unable to go any further because...
You can't use your arm.
Because he said at least 9 months you're not going to use your arm. I said, best thing you go back to the United States.
And you weren't going to argue with him.
I don't think so. And so it was a long trip back.
So how long were you in the hospital tent in the Philippines? Did they evacuate you very quickly? Did they have to stabilize you?
Yeah, they evacuated me. They sent me back to New Caledonia.
Okay.
And I got treated there. And then they told me, get ready to get it back on a troop ship. And sent me to the United States.
Okay.
Went back to San Francisco, Letterman General Hospital.
Okay.
In San Francisco.
Now, is this another one of those month-long sails back to California?
Yeah, well, it wasn't as long, but I had to take a hospital ship back home. But in the meantime, I had my first airplane ride from Philippines to New Caledonia.
Okay.
And from there, I don't know, I think from New Caledonia, I left back again.
On a ship?
A ship.
Okay. So when you were on the hospital ship, were you confined to your bed, or were you able to get up and move around a little bit?
Well, I was about the healthiest guy in the whole ship. You know, I just had the one arm bandage. I could get around pretty good.
So what did you do on the ship on the way home? Did you do a lot of reading? Did you... You know, play cards with the guys.
Yeah, I just can't remember that far back, but...
Okay.
I know it was a pleasant...
Much more pleasant than the way out.
Yes, it was.
Now, if we go back to when you were in New Caledonia the first time, and then the Solomon Islands and the Philippines. That whole time, were you able to communicate with your family?
Yes, I could write letters.
But that you couldn't tell them where you were.
No.
You said your sister had
a code,
so she knew.
She knew where I was at, yeah.
Okay. So were you able to get any packages from home, or was everything just really letters?
No, reading letters. I kept getting back letters from a friend of mine who was killed in an airplane crash in his service.
Okay.
And I kept getting his letters back. They were all marked deceased. It really hurt me to hear about him. He was landing his plane, and somebody crashed into him while he was landing.
Okay.
And so that was my first friend that disappeared in life.
And that's how you found out.
Yeah.
Because the letters came back marked deceased. So you ended up back in California. Was your family able to come and see you, or were they still in Chicago?
They were still back in Chicago.
Okay.
And
so you were in the hospital. Did they have to do surgery on your arm, or was it rehabilitation?
Well, mostly rehabilitation, no surgery, because all it was I don't know what the name of the nerve was, a vagus nerve.
Oh, okay.
And all he had to do is let it heal.
Okay.
It's still in his arm.
The shrapnel's still there. The
shrapnel's still there.
Okay.
You can feel it if you want.
It's like a big, is it just a, like a lump there?
Yeah, what happened was they wanted to take it out on me. But I told them, no, it doesn't hurt me. I'll just keep it as a souvenir there.
Okay.
So
how long were you in the hospital in California then?
Oh, I was in Letterman's General for about, let's say, 3 weeks, and they always want to send you close to home.
Uh-huh.
So I went to, I can't think of the name of
it. Was that Camp Grant?
No, not Camp Grant.
Michigan, or was it?
I got discharged in Michigan, but in the meantime, I was in the hospital 3 months in a small college town. I forget.
In Illinois, or?
In Illinois, yeah. My parents were able to come and see me.
How? What was their reaction the first time they saw you?
My mother thought I was down to nothing.
Didn't she? She walked by your bed.
She walked
right past you, huh?
She walked right past me, and only.
Wow.
Yeah.
So they must have been so happy to see you, though.
Oh, it's the only son. You know, they were happy that I got through it.
Mm-hmm.
And it seemed like 2.5 years that I was in the service. It seemed like it went by so fast.
So you were. I'm trying to make sure I have everything right. You were in the Philippines probably 15 months or so after you joined the service.
Yes.
And so how far into your time in the Philippines did this injury happen?
Well,
how long were you in the Philippines?
I was there not too long. We painted the island of Lingang Gulf.
Uh-huh.
And I imagine I was there about 6 weeks.
Okay. So it sounds like altogether, after you were wounded, you were still in the military for another year or so.
Yes.
Okay. So you went from the Philippines to California.
Yeah.
And you were in California just a few weeks, you said?
Yes.
And then you came back to Illinois, right. And you were at another camp in another hospital.
And I finally was discharged
in
Battle Creek, Michigan.
Okay. What did you do? Were you in the hospital the whole time, that whole extra year, getting rehabilitation, or were you...
It wasn't quite a year, but I was getting medicated.
Okay.
Built up again.
So it was all fixing what they could with your arm.
Yeah, and your mind.
And your mind. What was it like coming back? I mean, did they give you some counseling to try to help you deal with what you had seen and what you had experienced?
I did talk to a psychiatrist.
Okay.
And they gave me medications to relax more. And they tried to help me as much as possible. I wanted to further myself in education, but I didn't have it. I like to do physical work, and I was happier that way. Doing something mentally.
Mm-hmm. You didn't want to sit at a desk.
No.
Okay.
So you
were in Illinois somewhere, and you were going through the counseling and getting your arm worked on and just healing.
Yes,
and then they transferred you to Battle Creek, Michigan?
Yeah. That was when I finally ended up when I got discharged.
Okay. Did they send you to Battle Creek just for the discharge?
Yes.
Okay. So you were discharged at Battle Creek, and then you came back to Chicago?
Yeah, I was came back. And
how did you get back to Chicago?
I took a train, and I took a cab home.
And your parents knew you were coming?
Yeah.
So they must have been really happy when you were finally home to stay.
Yeah. They thank God for everything they have. Because there were so many pathetic cases.
Right.
I felt sorry for some people. I felt sorry for the mothers of the boys I buried.
That stayed in your mind, yeah.
It stayed in my mind a long time. A lot of them had their glasses on yet, their personal things, their wallets. That's been hard for the parents.
Right. Yeah. So what was the first thing you did when you got home after you were discharged?
Well, they had a lot of, what do they call people that that would explain your benefits, you know.
Okay.
And I wanted to go to art school, and I never did. I liked art work.
Did you do drawing or painting?
Painting,
okay.
And they didn't have a school my category for some reason, and I went to an architectural college, and I tried to pick it up, but it was too deep for me.
Okay.
And so I kind of got away from that.
Was that all on the GI Bill?
Yes.
Okay.
And I received a meantime, they gave me a pension for being hurt.
Mm-hmm.
I was, at that time it was 20%, which is was about $43 a month.
Okay.
And today
it was a lot more back then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Today it's about $243.
Okay.
Well, anyway, they tried to send me to school, but mm-hmm. They tried everything. They were very good about it. I don't regret it.
Yeah, to like the disability, you had to kind of, some guys had to kind of argue to get more, didn't they? Like, they tell you you were 20% or 30%.
Yeah. And they told me I was 20% disabled. Every year they didn't give you an increase.
Okay.
So today it's about $243. But I was satisfied, you know, coming out alive, I didn't care.
Now this is your left arm that was injured.
Yeah.
Were you left-handed or right-handed?
Right-handed.
So you would still do everything that you had been doing before.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, like I say, I like dark work, and I evidently didn't go after it enough.
Uh-huh.
I could have went to possibly the Art Institute, you know, on my own. Anyway, I wanted to be an outdoors person.
Okay.
I like driving. I joined the Teamsters. I put about 28 years with the Teamsters Union.
So you worked as a trucker?
Yeah.
What company? Or was it multiple companies? Or?
Yeah, the last company was with the name of it was XL Transportation.
Okay. Now, when you joined the Teamsters, did they help you find a company, find work? Did you find the work first and then join the Teamsters?
I had to find my own job.
So what the place that hired you the first time?
Yeah. First place. Well, it was a small local cartage company. And it was bought and rebuilt by somebody else, and maybe it was bigger. And I happened to be lucky enough to stick around for about 28 years.
Okay.
And I was able to get a pension out of it.
Okay.
But my only regret is I always did like to do artwork. If I had something to fall back on, I'd rather be an artist than anything else.
Did you pursue it after that? Or did you just let it go?
My son used to watch me.
He took classes.
I took classes and did a lot of work at home.
Your one sister, Rose, she was she was pretty good with
it. She died early in life. My older sister.
So this was a talent that was in your family. There was some talent with artwork.
Well, there must have been somebody in the family that had that. I know my mother used to tell me a surname, Cangelosi. He was a great decorator for churches, painted a lot of murals.
Mm-hmm.
Churches. I don't know. Anyway, that's the only good experience I had in life as for a trade would be being an artist.
Okay.
But I never followed through.
Yeah. When do you have any close friendships that lasted beyond your time in the service? Any people that you met in the service that you kept in touch with afterwards?
Yeah, there was a few at the beginning, and after everybody got settled down, married, and moved out of different states, and you lost track of a lot of people. A lot of them died in the meantime that I knew.
Do you belong to any veterans organizations?
I belong to the Military Order of the Purple Heart.
You got the Purple Heart for the
wounding
in the Philippines.
I joined and I stayed with them for at least 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I lost track of everybody. So I kind of dwindled away from Army life and lost all my best friends, mostly through death,
So how did your military experiences affect the way you think about war and about the military and even about life in general? How did those experiences affect the way you think about everything now?
I remember meeting a lot of young fellows that were really, really worried about their country and they wanted to protect it. And there were others, they were freeloaders. They just went in and tried to lead an easy life, in the Army. I met a lot of good soldiers, a lot of bad soldiers. The Japanese were good soldiers too. They took care of themselves. They're well trained. I hated to even see them get killed. But I guess they had, after the bomb was dropped, many innocent people died. I missed it. It was right after.
Right after you went back?
I went back. Then they dropped the Hiroshima bomb.
Right.
Then the war was over.
So the invasion of Japan was not necessary then, right?
Yeah.
So when you look at things today, when you look at the current wars that are going on, and you look at the situations around the world, how does what you experienced affect what you think about what you see now?
What I see now is everybody's starting all over again. Everybody took heart in World War II, and they really fought for the United States, civilians and soldiers. And it seems like after many years go by, everything is forgotten. A new life exists. People don't know what war is or don't care. They don't put their heart into their country. It seems like it's all, they want to progress, live easy, but you gotta have some hardships too, in life.
Okay. Is there anything that we haven't covered that you'd like to mention, that you'd like to say before we finish?
I can't recall anything else. Just happy to serve. And I just hope the world gets safer and we never have any more wars.
That sounds like a good note to end this on. So Sam, thank you very much for sharing your story with us, and we're going offline.